The National Party's Housing Minister Chris Bishop has announced a new housing policy which will see councils in major towns and cities to zone for the next 30 years' worth of growth. Today, Jess had a catch-up with National Party's Dr. Shane Retty, and they discussed the housing growth plan as well as having a quick check-in on where the party stands on not changing the retirement age. Here's that piece now.
So why have you now changed your mind on this policy?
So we received a lot of feedback that the housing accord was too prescriptive and councils wanted more flexibility. And we always said we'd be open to sensible changes that still deliver an increase in housing. And so clearly the policy needed to change because housing at the moment, I don't think anyone would say that housing is going well for us here in New Zealand. Not when we have rents up 160 a week, this is since 2017. Social housing waitlist has increased by 20,000. There's thousands of families living in motels. Housing is still not working. And so we just don't believe that the housing accord is still fit for purpose. So we've proposed a completely new policy.
Can you explain how your policy would give councils more autonomy over where they deliver this new housing?
So there's three parts to the newly announced house policy, that housing growth plan that we've announced. The first part is unlocking land for housing. So what we've said is that councils will be required to immediately zone 30 years of future demand in their region, anticipate where housing will be required, and zone 30 years going forward of supply. And what that also means is that they'll be able to opt out. One of the hurdles to that has been the medium density residential zone law. So councils will be able to opt out of that. So first of all, unlocking land. Secondly, infrastructure. The Infrastructure Funding and Financing Act will be reformed. And what that will do is that will allow targeted rates on greenfields, so new houses that are being built in new areas, will be able to have targeted rates. And what that will do is that will relieve some of the pressure on councils to fund infrastructure, water, electricity, fibre, I put into that now, through their balance sheet, that can now come from targeted rates. And the third and final part to the housing plan is incentives for councils. A $1 billion fund for Build for Growth incentive, which fundamentally says that if a council, for every house above the five-year average that a council delivers or is participatory in, that there'll be $25,000 from this fund. So it's an incentive for councils to collaborate with developers, to collaborate with the sector to build houses.
Who do you believe this policy would benefit most?
This benefits those Kiwis, those people who are wanting to get on the property ladder. They will benefit the most because, oh, and those who are renting, by the way, which is the same group, because they're just finding there is not enough supply, just simply not enough houses, which is putting houses beyond their reach. And so we believe it will be those New Zealanders who are currently renting, wanting to get on the property ladder, and those who desperately need homes. That's where the target audience is. Build more homes.
How would National address the need for more affordable housing in our major cities?
So we're very supportive of social housing providers. We think they can do a better job than government in many places because they're more agile, they've got different tools, and they're not encumbered by some of the sluggishness that happens with state-generated houses. So we're very supportive of social housing providers, and they'll reap all these benefits that we've announced in this policy will be directly applicable to them.
ACT initially opposed this policy when it was first introduced, and they've stated that it shows that they should be in a government. Do you believe that come the election, depending on the results, that you would be able to have a relationship with ACT in government?
Look, I have no doubt that that we can work with ACT. You know what their policies are, it's for them, so I'm not going to comment on what they choose to make as a policy announcement. But I think we've heard very clearly from the leader that we can definitely work with ACT. But it's hypothetical, you know, in front of us here at the moment, what we need to do is get through to the election. We need to have this contest of ideas around policies. And we need to show what the government is offering and what the alternative is. And our housing plan is an alternative.
I also wanted to talk to you about your new superannuation policy. So the government has confirmed that it would keep the superannuation age at 65, as well as continue making contributions to the New Zealand Super Fund and providing the winter energy payment if re-elected. Why would National move to increase the superannuation age?
Well, we think this is very hypocritical from Chris Hipkins, because we have to imagine in 2017, 2018, he was campaigning on raising the superannuation age, and I put it to you now, have things got better from then to now financially? Probably not. Our debt has gone up, and yet the government wants to maintain the superannuation age. It was kind of interesting. It struck me that over the weekend, their much-vaunted Congress, most of their announcements were what they would not do rather than what they would. And I think the electorate is looking to say, well, that's fine, that's what you won't do, but what will you do? Look, we're of a view, and Bill English put this into public domain, first of all, around about 17, 18, actually, that to be fiscally sustainable, we need to look at slowly raising the superannuation age to 67 over a long period of time to be fiscally sustainable and to start coming in line with some of our OECD partners like Australia. And so we're not afraid of this policy, one that we think is appropriate for the long-term future of New Zealand, and we're committed to doing that.
The latest advice from Treasury, like you said, is that the number of New Zealanders heading towards retirement would lead to an unsustainable level of debt. Is this advice guiding your policy?
Look, we've all known that the tsunami of older people, as we're blessed to be living longer, it also puts a lot of stress on the infrastructure, be it around health, be it around social services, but actually on the pension age as well. So we've certainly taken into account that increasing age group and what the fiscal implications would be for the affordability of superannuation.
When we were discussing the budget last week, you claimed that the Treasury's advice that the budget wouldn't be inflationary was not correct. Why do you think that they're right this time?
Oh, a number of commentators. I mean, every commentator was expecting a more restrained budget. In effect, it became a blowout budget. So everyone's kind of shocked as to how much spending has happened. And so we remain of a view that the large parts of the budget are inflationary, that it was a time for fiscal discipline and not for fiscal spending. And so we agree with many commentators that this was a blowout budget and not one that is going to anchor inflation and OCR and mortgage rates in a place that's good for New Zealanders in the near and medium term.
The Deputy Prime Minister, Carmel Cipollone, has claimed that your policy to raise the super age to 67 would mean that people could miss out on more than $50,000. Is this something that you would refute?
Is this something that we would have?
Refute, deny.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Yeah, well, Carmel's wrong, I'm afraid, and she's not looking at the fiscal sustainability of the country, as Treasury and many commentators have alluded to. The long-term sustainability of superannuation, where it is at the moment, is not tenable, particularly with the increasing age group. So we would struggle to see how that becomes a valid argument if we're looking at the long-term economic projections for the country.
Would National keep the winter energy payment as is?
Look, that's something I'd need to chat with our energy spokesperson and with our finance team. So that's nothing I can give you clarity on here today, other than we are having discussions around the winter energy payment.
Moves to increase the retirement age in countries like France recently have seen widespread pushback and have caused significant problems for the country with mass striking. Do you anticipate that your policy would be popular among working people in Aotearoa?
Look, we understand that New Zealanders get the need for long-term financial viability and stability. So we think people will understand that, certainly with the long lead-in that we're talking about to increase in superannuation, that New Zealanders will just see fiscally responsible, economically sound thinking around that. France and some of the European countries are quite different because their superannuation age is a good deal younger. There was some pushback in Australia, but certainly nothing in the European countries. And we have to remember that if we look across the ditch, we see a superannuation age that's different to ours. So while there'll be some that it may not resonate with, I think most New Zealanders will understand that need for long-term financial stability and fiscal discipline sensibly requires an increase in superannuation age over time, over a long transition period.
That was the National Party's Dr. Shane Reddy.